You're listening to Under One Roof, a Covenant House production. Under One Roof is your opportunity to hear conversations with subject matter experts on a variety of social justice and public policy issues. Covenant House Vancouver is dedicated to serving all youth with absolute respect and unconditional love, helping youth experiencing homelessness and protecting and safeguarding all youth in need. And now, Under One Roof. Welcome to this episode of our podcast, Under One Roof, a Covenant House Vancouver production. My name is Neil Henderson, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Covenant House Vancouver would like to acknowledge that this is being recorded on the unceded traditional territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. We acknowledge with gratitude the privilege of providing housing and support services for vulnerable youth on their lands. This month, we'll be looking at volunteering at Covenant House. Having touched on mentoring last month with Lisa, volunteering is a core facet of CHV's operations and encompasses a massive amount of different work and services that we provide youth. We have our Supreme Manager of Volunteer Services and Gifts in Kind, Amanda Merler, with us today to help explore everything to do with this topic. Having worked at Covenant House Vancouver for 13 years in the Volunteer Services Department, Amanda is a member of Volunteer Canada and Volunteer Management Professionals of Canada. Before joining us, Amanda worked in volunteer management at Langley Memorial Hospital for 2 years. She truly is the leading beacon of knowledge on this topic area, and we're really lucky to have her sharing her time speaking with us today. Amanda, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on the show and sharing your time with us.
Thank you for having me.
So to start off, is obviously the first episode since Under One Roof started that's looking at the volunteer aspect of the work that Covenant House delivers to youth. I wonder if you could start sharing a little bit about your role and unpacking what that is for our listeners.
Yeah, so I am the manager of volunteer services and our gift and kind department. They both coincide and work simultaneously together, as a lot of our volunteer positions do support our gift and kind department. So I manage, obviously, volunteer services that have encompass not only individual volunteering, but group support as well. And then the gift and kind side of things is bringing in incoming donations and supporting the youth with things like clothes, toiletries, household items, and such.
And so the two roles intersect, obviously, in you managing both of them. Could you speak a little bit to the ways in which they intersect briefly?
Yeah, so we have volunteer groups that come in and help go through our inventory. So obviously everything that we get in needs to be cleaned, laundered, if it was used items. Anything new that's coming to us from department stores needs to go through an intake process. So we go through all of the inventory. We make sure that it's checked off an inventory list so that these businesses can get a proper tax receipt from us that support the CRA guidelines that we have.
And obviously we'll be focusing on volunteering, but the gifts in kind work, when you talk about incoming gifts, are those literally donations that are offered from third parties outside of Covenant House, corporations and so on, or are they requested? How does that work? Just briefly.
A little bit of both. So I think corporate groups find out about us and then they're like, oh, we have an overstock. We're happy to support Covenant House by giving a gift in kind. And then vice versa. We have Corey, our coordinator of gifts in kind, who goes out to the community and tries to build partnerships with department stores and then just also supports individuals who have items to give.
Amazing. Okay. So with you in that role, wearing those different hats, as far as the actual volunteers that make up the teams that you and your colleagues manage, can you share a little about the intake process and what's involved for folks who might want to get involved and join?
Yeah, so it all starts off with maybe a brief interaction. So whether someone reaches out to us by phone or by email and just kind of chats a little bit, wants a little bit more information about what we're doing and how they can get involved. From there, if they are interested in pursuing a volunteer position that we've chatted about, they would go through what you call an intake process. So they would come in and do an interview, either in person, or that we could host it virtually just to get to know us a little bit. Through that interview process, we learn about their skills, kind of what, you know, what their hobbies might be. And from there, we kind of decide what a good fit might be within our organization. If that all works for that volunteer, that volunteer prospect, I should say, and us, then they would pursue and go on to a police check, filling out some proper paperwork for us, and then going through orientation and training before they would get placed in their position.
It really is, as makes total sense, a very thorough process so that those volunteers are fully up to speed, I imagine, with both the tasks that they're doing, but also I imagine part of that is to do with, of course, protecting the youth that we're working with and working for.
Yeah, safeguarding the youth is our number one priority. So it's very much mimics our employment intake process. So it's very similar to that. So if you have gone and tried to obtain a job somewhere, you'll see the very similar steps that we would create for a volunteer as well.
Fantastic. As far as the different types of volunteer, or maybe more specifically, the different types of need that the organization has, historically, since you've been in post, what are some of those needs that you see coming up each year, and how are those changing?
The greatest position that we have a need for is food service support. So helping in our kitchens, whether it's prep work or serving the individual youth that we see every day. We have opened up our CSS department. So the drop-in space is currently seeing a record number of youth. And so having volunteers over there to help serve them breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week would be a huge program that we have. Mm-hmm. We also have volunteers helping in our clothing room, so helping help find them items that have come through the intake process, ensuring that they can find clothing that either fits them, or we can search for items that they specifically need for an interview, for example. We have volunteers that help us in a recreation aspect, so excursion leaders. So we have a team of volunteers that come in on a weekly basis that come in, take them to outings such as skating in Robson Square in the winter. Mm. They go on cycling rides around Stanley Park in the summer. They go to the movies. They went to bubble tea recently, so a lot of our youth have never experienced bubble tea and what that's like. So just having those one-on-one experiences with volunteers are really impactful as well.
Amazing. Given that range of different roles and opportunities that are available, can you speak a little bit to the kind of impact that that has on the youth that we serve, the value of the work that our volunteer body as a whole actually offers?
I think there's something to be said about someone in the community willing to give their time to supporting them. So they're not here, they're not paid to be here, they're choosing to give their hours weekly, monthly, whatever they can provide, to coming in and supporting our young people with, whether that's a conversation, whether that's experiencing an outing together, or even serving them a meal. And seeing that individual show up on a weekly basis and coming and providing them a service, I think that shows that there are people in their corner that are there to support them, that are there to look past anything that they have experienced before, and just giving them a sense of belonging. You know, they belong here, they belong in this community, they belong in this world, and how can we help support that, their future?
Yeah, sure. In terms of, I don't know if the right term is length of service, but have we, among the team, volunteers who continue to return and have been working with us for a long period, for example?
I'm happy to say that we've had two of our volunteers reach the 20-year milestone with us.
Years,
so longer than I've been here. We have a couple that are coming up on 15, 10, 5 years with us. So we have some folks that have stayed and are happily engaged with the work that we do and in their roles, and continue to support us on a weekly, if not monthly, basis.
Does that contribute in a sense towards the component of the work that's so critical at almost every stage of the services and supports that Covenant House provides, which is the trusting and healthy relationships that are safe spaces for youth to discover and to build with staff members and potentially volunteers, especially those that are returning? Is that a component of?
I would say so, absolutely. A healthy relationship, someone to model positive communication, someone to model just care. Like I said, a feeling of belonging, you know, they're meant to be here, and how can we support that? And, you know, you have a community around you, you know, it takes a village, as they say. So, you know, just another couple of folks in their world, in their corner to support them through their journey.
And another kind of me just wondering, do we have among our volunteer body, or have we had anybody who has had lived experience and has found themselves joining the organization, actually having pulled themselves out of similar situations, perhaps, to many youth that we serve?
Not to my knowledge, lived experience. Well, I should say that we've had volunteers that have had maybe a significant other or a child, perhaps, that have gone down certain paths that are similar to some of our young people. And so that was really pulled them into what we're doing here and how they can be supportive, you know, support someone else. So in that regard, yes, I would say that we've had some folks that have seen or have had folks that have been foster care people themselves. And, sure. And now long their foster care people or foster care children have aged out or have moved on to successful lives. So they just want to give back in another way.
That's just incredible to hear that. And clearly not just an invaluable, but an incredibly special group of people that are giving up their time, as you say, and putting in those hours to support the community of youth that we're serving. Out of interest, how large is the team? How many, do you have a sense of how many volunteers we have in general or currently?
Yeah, it's an ongoing number. It's a forever growing, which I think we're so grateful for. Currently, we're at about 150. So in line with how many staff, including casuals, we're roughly around 300. So we're about half of that in a volunteer volunteer program.
Yeah. That's an incredible number in terms of what the whole output of Covenant House is and how important that volunteer body of people actually is. What do you see coming down the pipe? What's on the horizon and developing needs? Are there obvious changes, for example, after the pandemic, or even things that you know already are 6 months away or longer?
Yeah, we'd like to engage some more recreational support here at Covenant House. So folks that can come in that can support yoga, maybe some, you know, a book club, knitting, anyone that's trained in giving first aid certificates or food safe certificates. So these are all things that our youth can then utilize and take with them to try and find employment throughout their journey. So anything like that, we're looking at exploring in the near future. But just, yeah, opening up new positions that we haven't been able to think about since the pandemic is really exciting.
And how do you go about finding, other than offers of people wanting to reaching out, is there a process, are there channels that you use?
Yeah, we definitely try and put our recruitment out there by our website, LinkedIn, and then utilize our volunteer family right now to spread the word. So if they know of family or friends that are certified in these areas or have taken up some interest in something, we obviously like them to be our recruiters as well, because they can speak to their experience with us.
Is there one of those routes that tends to be the most productive and successful, is voice of mouth?
Yes. And students that have maybe perhaps volunteered in their high school, you know, with their group, age to 20, you know, they become university students or into the working force themselves, and then they come to volunteer once they get settled in their career.
Sure. Wonder what you can speak to the types of people who you find coming in and maybe the backgrounds that they come from. Is it literally from all walks of life, or do there tend to be some kinds of commonalities?
All walks of life. I think we have folks that are start new to their careers, and so they've come to find they have some time to give throughout the week. Mm. We have folks that have retired recently and they want to, you know, make sure that their schedule is filled with things that ring true to who they are. You know, giving back is part of that. We have students that come. So, you know, they're being told in their high school that they should be giving some time to their community. So they're coming in that regard. I think what's nice to see, though, is even though they're told by their high school that perhaps this is something that they should look at before they graduate, we're still seeing some of those students come back, like I mentioned, after and supporting us on their own instead of being mandated to do so. So that's really rewarding. We have business professionals that are giving their time that, again, have some free time, whether they are empty nesters or they've just managed to squeeze some time out of their week to come and provide for us as well.
Talking about business professionals, it just strikes a chord around one of our major fundraising events each year, Sleep Out Executive Editions. Are there any specific kind of voluntary events, or even does your team and your department overlap with those kinds of events in any way, or other things that happen in the course of the year?
Yeah, we definitely try and support Sleep Out with volunteer support. So usually that looks a group kind of corporate opportunity. So this past fall, we had a group in from RBC that came in that supported us. BC Housing was another one. And so they help with event setup. Some of them help with event takedown. And so it looks a little bit more administration type tasks, but they are extremely supportive and they do get a lot of tasks done for us to make the event successful.
Fantastic. And you mentioned there about group kind of corporate and so on. I was going to ask, is there any distinction that you make between individual and group volunteers in terms of the types of work or types of event?
Yeah, usually group volunteer work does not happen around the young people that are served at Covenant House because they haven't gone through the vetting process like an individual has. That being said, there are very meaningful ways that groups can get involved. We chatted a little bit about gift in kind and coming in and assorting that inventory. So before that inventory can be given to a young person, it needs to go through that process. So corporate groups are key to making sure that those items get seen and processed in a timely manner so that they can hit the clothing room, so they can be given out to the young people that we see. So those are some ways to get involved. We have other administration tasks. Thankathon is another one, calling our donors to say thank you. That is primarily student-led. So student groups come in and do those Thankathon calls, which are very meaningful and do support our fundraising initiatives here at Covenant House.
Yeah, sure. Having spoken at the beginning of the year with John Spiller about, you mentioned earlier, CSS and the shifting population of youth that he and the team in CSS have been seeing in the drop-in, certainly since the pandemic, a significant spike in newcomers to the country from all different backgrounds. Is there something similar that we're seeing among the volunteer group of people that are coming in, potentially a selection of newcomers who are getting involved? And also, I wonder, in terms of supporting those communities of youth who are joining us, is there also scope for or need for volunteers to assist in that part of work, whether it's linguistically, for example?
Absolutely. In the last intake that we just had within the last few months, we saw about 5 of 27 individuals that are newcomers to Canada and are looking to grab some skills that they can then utilize to find employment here. So, you know, whether that's a lot of them actually 4 out of the 5 have actually gone on to have food service, a position. So gaining some skills in that regard. So hopefully they can obtain positions. I have one that linguistically can go and support CSS if needed, if they had a need for them to support in that regard over in the drop-in center. We are seeing the numbers spike.
And I mean, you mentioned a few of the developing needs. For example, book clubs. And so you mentioned a few different things you'd like to see. In terms of planning with the growth of the agency, we obviously have the developed capacity that's very shortly going to be online with the building that's been worked on for the last couple of years in PENDA. Are there similar developments in that sense as well in supporting different programs specifically, or is it more of a kind of ad hoc basis as and when things come up?
I think a little bit of both. I think we like to try and plan things out to the best of our ability ahead of time. But as needs arise, you know, there's always going to be those little things that pop up. We try our best to accommodate and support. So working with the program management team to kind of come up with some things ahead of time and kind of design accordingly. But with PENDA, as you mentioned, you know, just getting the youth into that building and settled is number one priority. And then from there, we can build from that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like I said, a little bit of both. We definitely try and foresee some needs down the future, but also are willing to support as needed.
And I guess my last question is it could be a little tricky, but I'm interested to see if there are any stories of individual volunteers or groups of volunteer that you can think back on that in your time and the time you've been working with Covenant House have had perhaps an example of a specifically direct impact on a youth or individual groups of youth. It's obviously difficult to single out because so many are so doing such incredible work, all of them. But I just wonder in terms of the individuals you've met and had that privilege to bring into the organization and see the work that they're doing.
Yeah, I early on in my career at Covenant House, I remember that there was a youth in ROP that was interested in pursuing becoming a paramedic. And we actually had a paramedic, a volunteer that was a paramedic, and making that connection, and that youth did move on and did have the training, and the volunteer came in and provided support with their learnings about becoming a paramedic, and that youth was successful in obtaining that role.
That's amazing. So they're now working as
a working. So having that that connection was really, really special, and it's something that sticks with me today.
Fabulous. And I guess I'm going to pivot to a very final, I promise, question is to check with you kind of what is it that draws you to the work within volunteering and the reason that you've been with Covenant House as long as you have? What's the thing that I imagine gives back to you and kind of motivates your work?
I love the connection. So I love when I'm able to connect a volunteer with the right role. They kind of have this aha moment. This is the right feeling. I hear from them how great and how engaged they are and how their shifts are going. You know, they message us on a regular basis, just checking in and seeing how things are going. And their responses are always like, this is so amazing. I feel like I'm giving so much and the youth are amazing. And then on the same token, when I hear from the youth workers or the staff that things are working out well and that they're fitting in and they're making a great effort in the work that we do. So I think that makes me feel good. When I leave at the end of the day, it makes me feel good.
Awesome. And it's an incredible job that you and your team do as part of, as you were saying, really 50% of all of the work that is done is done by voluntary force, you know, working in total. It's a really incredible service and thank you for everything that you and your team do. I wonder, is there a particular way that you would invite individuals who have listened to this and would like to get involved, would like to offer up their time and services, can reach out to you or otherwise? What's the best way that they could do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Volunteer at covenanthousebc.org is our email address. So feel free to pop us an email. We'd be happy to set up a time to chat with you about the different areas we're recruiting for at this current time. And then, yeah, we can definitely have those chats.
Outstanding. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. That brings us to the end of this episode of Under One Roof. And as always, we would like to thank our community of supporters, and especially in this case today, volunteers, who have allowed us to reach where we are and enable us to serve the young people in need of all of the services and supports that we provide. If you have any feedback on today's episode or suggestions for future topics that you'd like to learn about, please email us. Until next time, thanks very much for listening.